I can't find a flaw in the Djokovic game right now, but Nadal is the ultimate warrior. And no doubt, I think as this tournament has worn on, he's looked better and better. Yes, came in with a bit of scratchy form. Yes, came in with the number six seeding, world number seven. In fact, if Rafa loses tonight, Paul, he will be in double digits next week in the rankings for the first time since the 18th of April, 2005. When Roger Federer was one, Rafael Nadal was 11 in the world. Novak Djokovic was at 153 in the world and Andy Murray was at 397. So that's how long it has been. But let's welcome in a voice who we both enjoy reading his work.
Absolutely.
He is a terrific analyst of the game, working for the ATP Tour, the WTA Tour. Spent a bit of time with him at the Australian Open. He's all over this battle tonight between Rafael Nadal and Novak Djokovic. And great to welcome in Craig O'Shaughnessy, who joins us on the line ahead of what is going to be a great match. Craig, really appreciate your time.
Good evening, Craig.
Gentlemen, thank you. Wonderful to catch up again.
We have been reading your preview and your numbers. You break it all down. Take us through how you think this is going to unfold tonight. Their 44th meeting. Rafa leads at 23-20. They've never been dull affairs. They've always been great matches. And you would think tonight we've at least got a minimum four sets.
I think so. It's a monster match. You know, it's one of those matches that really captivates the attention of the world. You know, everyone wants to know who's going to win this match and the battle that unfolds. And, you know, I'm just hoping these guys, you know, lay it all on the line and bring their A game and play a fantastic match. But, you know, Novak's coming in with incredible form. He's playing so well on the clay, and Nadal is really struggling. I mean, I put a lot of weight in the lead-up tournament. So you've got Monte Carlo. He typically goes to Barcelona and Madrid and then Rome and plays five matches in each. So, you know, it's not uncommon for Nadal to go 20-0 leading into the French Open. This year he went 10-4 and didn't win one of those events. So it's you know, it's a big ask for Nadal. You know, something's got to give here. You know, he's won nine times. He's the king of clay, but at the same time, you've got Djokovic surging and really playing some of the best tennis
in his life.
So, you know, these two factors make for a magnificent match at Roland Garros today.
Well, you're really talking about momentum there, Craig, and at the moment, Nadal, to this point, hasn't had it leading in.
Exactly. Exactly right. And, you know, this match, like in the 2014 final that they played, momentum's going to play a part. At some stage, one of these guys is going to get on a roll and win a bunch of points. And, you know, it happened last year at 5-5 in the second set. And Djokovic, from that point in time, lost five straight games to go down love 3 in the third. He only won 5 points in those five games. And that's where Nadal, you know, really seized control and got on top of Djokovic. And then, you know, you have this short period of total domination, and then you can kind of play even from then on. You can, you know, come up for air and say, you know what, I gave everything there. Things worked well. Play even from there, and you've won the title.
Just before we get into more discussion, I'm going to let Paul let rip on you here. Just to update people what's happening, Serena Williams, 6-1-5-3. So she is on the verge of another Grand Slam semi-final. She's in the box seat to win the women's tournament with all the big-name seeds falling around her. The other match going on, Tamia Bacinski, 6-4-3-1. She leads Alison van Ulfunke, Belgium. What are the great names to try and pronounce? And she looks like she might be done tonight, the 93rd-ranked player from Belgium. So the two women's quarters on at the moment. We've got Andy Murray, David Ferrer to come. But it is match point for Serena Williams on centre court at Roland Garros, 6-1-5-3. Take it away, Paul.
Yeah, look, Craig, today I read your blog about the 25 factors with tonight's matchup, and it's just fantastic for anyone who wants to quickly read it before the big match tonight. But looking at all those factors, which one, if you were to chunk it down, is the most important?
You know, it's Nadal's forehand to win the match has got to be the most dominant shot on the court. So Djokovic's, you know, number one goal, and why he does so well against Nadal, is he's adapted his game, and particularly standing up closer to the baseline. And when Nadal goes cross-court through the ad court with his forehand, it doesn't hurt Djokovic nearly as much as it hurts every other player in the world. So Djokovic has, you know, one of the most incredibly simple backswings on a backhand. He leans on the ball, he redirects it down the line, and he makes Nadal play a bunch of backhands. And remember, Nadal's a lefty. So in the juice court, Nadal will typically hit backhands, and that's what Djokovic makes him do. So I think the huge key of this match, if Djokovic can basically make Nadal play like a normal player, which is let Nadal hit, you know, his forehands over in the ad court, but if Djokovic can make Nadal hit a bunch of backhands standing in the juice court, and he can take away the runaround forehand. The runaround forehand is the biggest shot for really anyone out there. You're going to hit more forehand winners in a runaround position, and you're going to make less forehand errors standing in that opposite court. The three main reasons: you're basically upgrading from a backhand to a forehand to a bigger weapon, a shot that you can hit harder. You now double your target area because you can go down the line and cross court with authority. You know, the neutral backhand, it's very difficult to do anything with. The offensive forehand, you can really do whatever you want. And lastly, and probably the most important, is the open stance runaround forehand shows, you know, shows nothing. It has incredible disguise, and Nadal is the best in the world at this. So really what Djokovic does, kind of one of the subplots of all of this, is he makes Nadal play normal. He makes him hit forehands on one side and backhands on the other, and then Nadal comes back to the field if he's forced to do that.
I concur with everything you're saying there, mate. That's fantastic. One thing I guess Nadal's got to do is then flip it the other way and then hit his backhand cross court and try to reset the point that way.
Yeah, exactly. So he lost the first set, you know, and this is in the preview that I wrote. He lost the first set last year 6-3. He only had four forehand winners. And he was trying to go through Djokovic's backhand too much. I mean, you just can't do it. History has shown it's just an incredible backhand that doesn't break down. So what Nadal did, which was just masterful, was he changed tactics and he started taking his forehand, especially standing in the ad court, he started taking it down the line and attacking Djokovic's forehand. So 85% of Nadal's winners were directed towards Djokovic's forehand. That was 23 of a total of 27, you know, which is huge. He was hitting 13 of the 23. He was doing it standing in the ad court. So that was the, you know, that was Nadal going to plan B and saying, you know, plan A for Nadal is he wants to run around forehand. He wants to be standing in the juice court, clubbing it anywhere he wants.
Yes.
If he can't get that, he then has to adjust and hit more forehands standing over in the ad court, and he's got to take it down the line and attack Djokovic's forehand.
Craig O'Shaughnessy, a special guest here on the first serve at 19 past 11, of course, tennis analyst for a number of outlets, including the ATP Tour, and Serena Williams just missing an overhead here. Boys, with another match point, so it's taking a while back to, I think, the fourth, or might have been the fifth or the sixth juice, in fact. 6-1, 5-3, Serena leading Sara Errani. Just aside from the numbers, Craig, and we love it. The breakdown's fantastic for those that just love their tennis. What about just the mental battle for Djokovic, having not beaten Nadal at Roland Garros, and the fact that he has been the king of the clay and owned this tournament for so long? Would that be in the mind of Djokovic at all? Is he just a guy now who is, you know, so good at what he does on all surfaces against anyone in the world? He's on a great winning streak. There's no major flaw in his game that he just goes out there with the ultimate confidence tonight, not thinking it's Rafael Nadal down the other end of the net.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of this final has already been played. And what I mean by that is, you know, I put so much weight in that lead up, and he, you know, Djokovic was incredible on the clay court lead up, and he's, you know, he's beaten Nadal. He beat him 3-3 in the semifinals of Monte Carlo recently. So in a lot of ways, and that's another tournament that Nadal has typically owned, I believe 9 titles there. You know, I think Djokovic is going to come into this match going, I've got myself in a great position. I'm playing great tennis. I've beaten him recently on clay. I beat him last year on clay. He beat him in Rome in 3 sets on clay. You know, I think Djokovic is going to feel as good as he's ever felt playing Nadal at Roland Garros, which I believe has been 6 times. Mm. So I don't think, you know, Novak's going out there with, you know, with butterflies and going, oh my goodness, I've got to, you know, I've got to slay the dragon. You know, I think in past years that has certainly been a factor, but I think he's going in this year going, you know what, I've done my work, I'm ready for this one, I'm ready to take it. And, you know, Nadal's game is just not what it needs to be at this moment in time. Nadal's got to lift so much to get over the line in this match. Djokovic just has to do what he's been doing, you know, for the last few weeks. So I think Novak feels pretty good about this one.
Serena Williams through too. We'll hear from her in just a minute. She's just got through in straight sets. One more from you, Paul.
Yeah. Look, Craig, I absolutely love the work you do, and I think tennis, in fact, has been a bit slow to evolve to this, especially from a coaching point of view. Because I think if you're coaching players and then you're not just winging it out there, you actually have some real statistical evidence to back up your practice sessions and to really get things going. And I just have this one question. In the book Moneyball, baseball's golden stat for recruiting is who gets on first base the most. Do you think tennis has a golden stat like that?
What's interesting is when I go and look at the stat sheet, and, you know, it varies a lot in tennis. I think we can do a better job overall in putting out better stats. Stats that mean more to the bottom line. I mean, the number one stat that is going to drive matches is break points won. You know, those golden points. I mean, there's going to be a couple of hundred points played today. But, you know, Nadal, you know, by the fact that Djokovic is serving so well in this tournament, doing so well, Nadal is probably going to see, you know, somewhere between 5, probably maximum 10 break points in this match. You know, he may even see 3, but he's got to convert almost all of those. He's got to play bigger. You know, Djokovic, on those big points, look for Djokovic to serve to Nadal's back end. He's got to be aggressive. A lot of times Nadal, on that break point, he's just going to try and neutralize and get that backhand back into play and then try and build. I think today Nadal has got to redline it a little bit more, particularly on those bigger points, and say, I'm coming after this backhand return. You know, I've seen Nadal hit backhand return winners. It's a fantastic shot. He's got to rip it. He's got to rip it right down the middle of the court. The ball will boomerang back down the middle of the court, and then Nadal can get a forehand. So that's everything for him today. I think Djokovic will see a whole lot more breakpoint opportunities. You know, Nadal's going to hit a lot more forehands in those situations. And really, it's going to come down to who can convert the best. You know, they're both going to see 5 to 10. Who's going to play bigger? Who's going to play bolder? Who's going to lean on that return of serve and that first shot after the return and really reach out and grab their destiny today? You know, the other guy is not going to make an unforced error in that situation.
Absolutely. The match only about 20 minutes away at Roland Garros. Before I let you go, Craig, just give us a little snapshot of Andy Murray, David Ferrer coming up tonight, which will be a great contest as well. And I think we've all got admiration for Ferrer, who's always been, unfortunately, has played in this era of the dominance of the Big Four, but he's always been around the mark. He's made a final of the French, 33 years of age. He's still covering the court magnificently well, one of the fittest athletes going around. And Andy Murray, of course, we know what he can do on the tennis court. A great matchup.
You know, it really is. And Ferrer has always beaten Murray on clay. You know, that's how the history has gone. You know, Murray's done well against him on the hard courts. You know, I think, you know, Andy has a better winning record at the moment with Amélie Mauresmo as the coach. In the first period of time that Amélie has coached Andy Murray, there's a better winning record there than when Lendl took over with Andy Murray. So, you know, I think Andy's, you know, navigated some, you know, maybe some troubled waters early on, getting through the shock of hiring. And now it's proven. Amélie's doing a great job. The two get along together. Their winning percentage is great. You know, Andy is one, I think, 2 clay court events coming in.
Yep.
He's got as much confidence as he's ever going to have outside of, you know, playing at Wimbledon in front of, you know, his home crowd. You know, I think Andy Murray gets David Ferrer today. I think David's just, you know, he's not quite where he needs to be. Andy is playing as good as he ever will play. And you know what? This is a really interesting thing is that, you know, Andy can go on and make the final here and even win this tournament based on his form coming in. He's playing extremely well. He's going to play the winner of Djokovic and Nadal. And what quite often happens is when you have such a monster match, there's a little bit of a letdown. There's a little bit of, I've focused so much on Djokovic and Nadal. Don't be surprised at all that whoever wins the Djokovic-Nadal encounter gets rolled by Murray in the semis.
Bit of water to go under the bridge. And sure just is. A quick plug to braingametennis.com. Just give a quick plug for your services, Craig, because people can log on to your website.
Yeah, I specialise in tennis strategy and I specialise in the numbers of the game. And again, the website is braingametennis.com. And I've created four products that I have for sale on there. It's 25 golden rules of singles, 25 golden rules of doubles. And in both of those, it's all the patterns of play that I've learned from analysing the best players in the world and put that into a product for players at all levels of the game to copy. The third is between the points, which is the mental side of the game. A lot of it is just, how do you think? Tennis is very specific and what should be going on inside your mind. And lastly, I've just put out a product called Numbers, which is all about rallying in tennis. And a lot of it was derived from the 2015 Australian Open, and numbers that will completely shock you based on the rally length of tennis matches. So, anyone that's serious about tennis and enjoys competing, it's a great product.
BrainGameTennis.com.
It really is good stuff, and it's quite groundbreaking, some of the stuff that Craig's put forward.
Yeah, it's good to read. Thanks, Craig. Enjoy what should be a beauty between Djokovic and Nadal.
Thank you, gentlemen. Enjoy the evening.
Craig O'Shaughnessy, tennis analyst, joining us. We'll take a break. On the other side, we'll hear from Serena Williams. She is through to a semi-final once again, 6-1, 6-3, and likely you would think at this stage to take on Tamia Bacinski, the 23rd seed from Switzerland, 6-4, 3-all in the second. She leads Alison Van Ilfunke. I just love saying the name from Belgium.
What a pronunciation.
A break. We'll be back with more. The first serve, Djokovic, Nadal, not too far away.